Marisi felt about 1,000 times better when she arrived at the 4th Octant Constabulary headquarters, showered and cleaned up, wearing her preferred uniform of a vest and jacket over a calf-length skirt. As a special detective, she technically wasn't required to be in uniform, but she usually wore one anyway. The uniform was a symbol. It meant she represented something bigger than herself, the people of the basin, and the good of all. The uniform comforted those who saw her, at least those who were happy to have a constable around. And if it gave warning to those who were up to something, then that was part of the reason for the law. As she entered, younger constables in the main headquarters room lowered their reports and conversations hushed, all eyes turning to Marisi. Then came the applause. Rusts, that always felt so weird. You weren't supposed to be applauded by your co-workers, were you? More than one new constable, most of them women, watched her with wide eyes as she passed. Marisi knew that she had specifically inspired both Willamette and Jemdwin to join up last year. That left her conflicted. On one hand, she'd rather the broadsheets stop wiring stories about her. On the other hand, if it was inspiring other women... Either way, she was glad to stride into the back rooms, passing the offices of the higher-ranked constables. Even a few of these called out congratulations. She stopped and chatted with a few, asking after their own investigations. Though she just wanted to be on with her work, this was important too. You never knew when you'd need another constable's expertise. Besides, it was good to have friends among her peers. Finally. Eventually, she neared Reddy's office. She passed Constable Gorglin on his way out. The tall man's head almost brushed the ceiling. He nodded to her and made way, and she found Reddy inside the large rear office, frowning at his desk. His drooping mustache had grayed in recent years, and she knew the uniform of the Constable General weighed on him. He was more politician than officer these days, spending half his time in meetings with the city leaders.
Constable Colmes, can you make any sense of this?
He showed her the drawing, which proved to be a crude sketch of Constable Gorglin as a giraffe hiding in a constable's uniform. It said, "Approved by expert types," at the bottom.
I'll talk to Wayne.
Reddy slipped the paper into a very large folder on the corner of his desk, the one where he kept complaints about Wayne. Reddy had evidently stopped returning it to the cabinet.
I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry? Rusts, Constable. Sorry? How many people did you bring in today? At any rate, don't apologize for him. I've got a feeling if you weren't keeping Constable Wayne in check, this folder would be 10 times as thick.
He does do best when channeled toward productive activities.
Reddy picked up another folder.
Don't tell him this, but his imitation of me is amusing. Though you should know those two men with the bowler hats were looking for him again.
Any idea who they are?
Some accounting firm, probably in their collections department. It seems Wayne owes money to some important people this time, Marisi. The kind of people that even I can't dissuade.
I'll figure it out.
Harmony's bands. She hoped Wayne hadn't stolen anything truly valuable.
I'll leave that to you, then.
Reddy wrapped the folder with his knuckles.
The governor has been breathing down my neck asking for evidence the outer cities were siphoning off weapons, and you provided it. Thank you, Marisi. Really.
I hope to deliver even more, sir. I have a notebook from their leader, and it has some interesting shipping manifest information.
She pulled the book out, then held it open to show him.
We'll want to make copies, get it through research and code cracking in case I've missed something, but I've already read some curious things.
She tapped a list near the front.
This is a series of tests the cycle was overseeing to determine what can be shipped into Ellendale without being stopped by customs or raising red flags with inspection agents.
Wait, into Ellendale?
Exactly.
It's not illegal to ship things into Ellendale. This group was breaking the law by smuggling things out.
Which is why this is so intriguing. The shipping list is all very mundane, too. Foodstuffs, lumber, but they've noted which ones were inspected, which package sizes were suspicious, all of that.
I find this vaguely unnerving. I don't have any idea what it means, and that's even worse.
I'm going to dig into it. For now, I'll get some of those other pages copied by the scribes. They'll give you hard evidence that the explosives and weapons we found today were going to be smuggled to Bilming. That shipment was leaving the city, as have many others. I've had an idea.
Go on.
I'll need authorization to work outside the city for a while, and if possible, we need to keep this news from the press for a few days. That means quieting the other constables. I know it will be hard, but it will help me chase down the people these men were going to supply.
What are you planning?
According to this book, someone in Bilming is expecting a shipment soon. Weapons, explosives, and food.
That matches what we found in the cavern.
Reddy looked at the initial reports.
Lots of food.
That was curious. Why would they be smuggling dried foods to the outer cities? Were these soldier or sailor rations?
Regardless, the set tends to run silent in times like this. I didn't see any radio equipment down there. They were deep enough that a signal couldn't get out anyway. So our enemies probably don't know their team has fallen, which means...
We could send in the shipment and perhaps capture the people who are behind all of this.
Or at least move one step further up the chain.
They'd be expecting to meet one of their own. We couldn't maintain the subterfuge for long.
Well, sir, we do have the Cycle's corpse.
There are a lot of people who don't believe in the shadowy organization you're chasing, Colmes. You know that, right?
What do you believe, sir?
All those people we interviewed 6 years ago were certainly up to something. I'm still not 100% sure it wasn't merely an outer city's plot, and the idea of some kind of evil god doesn't sit well with me. But honestly, I've learned not to bet against you.
You do have to admit, at the very least, that Waxillium's uncle was involved in some kind of paramilitary group.
Yes, and someone assassinated him in prison, along with the others who followed him. If you say that was the set, I believe you. But I need you to be aware... The governor and his people want our official focus to be on the outer cities and the threat they present to Ellendale's supremacy, not on some secret society that might be pulling their strings.
Understood, sir. But I think this could accomplish both goals. Most of the people we caught were common street thugs, not actual set members. I'll bet the only one down there who had any real contact with the set was the man who had this book. It mandates radio silence from inside the city to not be overheard in the days leading up to a drop-off, so no one in Bilming is expecting to hear from him. I believe we can surprise them, particularly since we have that corpse.
Wait, how does the corpse help us?
I figured I'd ask Harmony to lend us a chandra to imitate the dead man for the operation. Wayne could be a generic lackey to help us shore up the subterfuge.
Oh, right.
Reddy got uncomfortable when she implied she was close with Harmony, and doing so was a little cheeky on her part, since she'd never met him herself. She knew death far better than she knew God. Regardless, Reddy didn't like being involved with the Chandra. Faceless immortals had made him uncomfortable ever since the business with Bleeder. He'd probably prefer she did her thing and didn't mention how. But, well, she wanted everything to be on the up and up. The department deserved to know how she got her results. She didn't accomplish them without things like Malwish Tech on loan from Alec or access to faceless immortals. She'd originally hoped that by making all this clear, her reputation would drop to more reasonable levels. She'd been wrong. Still, that had its advantages.
My reform suggestions about how we police slums and the proper training of constables? How is that going?
The other constables general have agreed to the articles. All but Joms, but I think after today he'll listen. Just need to get the governor to sign off on the ideas.
He narrowed his eyes.
I like this shipment plan of yours. Get me a detailed proposal.
Will do, sir. We'll need to move quickly.
You will have the full support of the department. The governor is going to be so pleased with today's results that I can all but guarantee you extra funding if your operation requires it. I'll wait for that proposal, but in the meantime, I'll have some people get to work on replacing the supplies that were destroyed today.
Thank you, sir.
Something wrong, Constable?
No, sir. Just appreciating the path I've walked and where it's led me.
Appreciate it on your own time, Constable.
She eyed him and he returned a rare grin.
It's the sort of thing I'm supposed to say. The governor likes it when I'm gruff. Fits his expectations better, I suppose. Oh, before I forget, Constable Mathieu says you had something specific you wanted to show me? Something that's not in the reports. Was it that book?
That and a little more, sir.
She took the spikes from her shoulder bag.
I want you to turn these three into the scientists at the university.
She held up the thinner fourth one.
I'm going to keep this one for a bit, though.
Ruin? Is that Atium?
No, though it's nearly as mythical. We think it's Trellium, a metal from off-world.
He eyed her. Talk of other worlds didn't sit right with him either. And she suspected he'd never fully accepted what she said about Trell.
Isn't that the stuff they used to blow up the prison?
I don't know if I believe that story. There's no proof Wax's uncle had any of this on him.
Still, be careful with that. If it's half as bad as Etmetal...
I'll be careful. I plan to deliver it to Lord Ladrian for study.
I thought he was retired.
Depends.
Marisie tucked the Trellium spike back into her shoulder bag.
For this, you should consider him on the case.
Well, I never revoked his constable privileges.
Reddy wiped his brow with his handkerchief.
Just trying to keep him from causing incidents. When he's involved, things tend to get unsettling.
I'll do what I can, sir.
He doesn't have any other hidden apocalyptic family members or half-sane wives with mystical powers, does he?
If any show up, I'll have him file a report and maybe move confrontations with them to next quarter for budgetary reasons.
I'm glad you're out there, Combs. Not just for my career. I'm glad there's someone rational around to, you know, balance the insanity. Go, chase your mysteries and let me know what you need.
She nodded, feeling a deep satisfaction as she left his office and walked back down the hallway. She had achieved so much, both in life and in this case. She had done it. She had arrived. And is this all? She tucked that annoying thought away and hurried to the commissary, where she grabbed a sandwich and began stuffing it down. She didn't have long to wait until her meeting with Wax. Still, Marisie was only halfway done when the cleaning lady came to take her tray.
Actually, I still have half.
Marisie held up the rest of her sandwich.
Thanks.
The lady took the sandwich from Marisie's hand and took a bite.
I was hungry.
Wayne.
Marisie looked closer at his face.
What are you doing?
Hiding from those bean counters.
The two men with the suits and bowlers? They bothered Captain Reddy about you again, Wayne. Who do you owe money to this time?
None your business.
One might have thought he'd look silly in a serving woman's apron and cap, but with the fake breasts, he wore it well. Wayne could never be accused of poor fashion sense, just poor taste.
I think it is my business.
No, it ain't. I'll make sure they don't bother old Reddy no more. You contacted Wax?
I sent him a note. Meeting at 3:00.
Then why are we wasting time playing dress-up? We got work to do.